How you guys doing out there
Blog
today?
Talk Radio.
Okay, how you guys doing out there today? This is Arthur Joseph Smith coming to you guys live. Also a licensed pastor, writer. That be me. Self-said, I'm not in the field. I have a license. I don't get out and administer. Probably like God has blessed me to, but I believe everything has its time. Today, once again, we come to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News at the last Saturday, I started to show off with prayer, and I was thinking I was going to do that today, but I don't want to do that today because I want to make a distinction between Saturday and every other day. You know, during 325 is when they change the Sabbath to Sunday, the first day of the week versus the last day of the week. God had never intended for us to worship him. He intends for us to worship him or submit to him 7 days a week. But the day of prayer and worship and all of that like that, that holy convocation was supposed to be on the Sabbath. And so therefore, to make a distinction, when Saturday comes, I'm going to pray and open up and maybe even have a little music before we start. But I want to make a difference because that is something, if you look at why they don't have it on Saturday or Sabbath, is because if you look at that, it leads out to the Creator. We know we were created in 7 days and talks about that. And, you know, he made the seventh day holy, so it goes back to someone. When you deal with it on Sunday, goes out to nowhere. So anyway, people, we'll go ahead and get into this. We're looking at the condition of the world, the distress of man, his inability to fix his problems, you know. And I really look at our Constitution here in America because I don't know who's hearing me overseas also, but our Constitution says a lot about us as a people. We the people, it says, for the people, by the people. If I'm quoting that right, if I'm not, you guys are more than welcome to call in today also. Call in number here is 773-897-6505. Once again, our call in number is going to be 773-897-6105, and I always love to mess that number up. 773-897-6105. So people, I was just looking at the condition now. I've been knowing something was coming because we're getting close to the end of the last Tetris. And you know, they've had Tetris before. Tetris being four blood moons, okay, or four solar eclipses. This one was different because it was not only four solar eclipses, it had, lunar eclipses, four lunar eclipses. And this one was different because it had a solar eclipse in between it. That has never happened before in record history. And as you can see very well now, the stock market is gone crazy. It started off with Korea shooting at South Korea, South Korea returning fire. And then after that, the Chinese market went crazy, and now it looks like it's on a downward spiral. Okay, so looking at these things, and I'm going to go to the scriptures now because I don't want to get caught up in just the basic natural, but we know a great change is coming. There's something wrong with the things we're seeing. You know, there's too many people running around here disillusioned, too distressed, you know. And where I want to start off at is where the Bible talks about this time, and it's going to be 21, Luke 21, verses 25-28. Once again, it's Luke 21, verses 25-28. And they said, and there shall be signs in the sun. Okay, we've had that, and we've been having that, even those solar flares and the solar eclipse, and in the moon, we've been having the lunar eclipse, and in the stars and the heavens, different signs we've been seeing. We've been seeing all of this. Meteors, we've been seeing a meteor that a comet, I guess, that broke through the air, and there's a big old explosion over there in Russia. Okay, and up on the earth, distress of nations. Look at the condition, the economic situations they cannot seem to fix. And all the different things that happened, migration, war over in Syria. You know, there's so many different things going on in the Middle East. And people leaving Middle East, and then you got Greece with its bailout and all other stuff going on right now. And now we have China, it looks like they're trying to go into default, which is really America is on this last leg. You know, we had never really recovered from that last, I guess I would like to say depression or whatever, but it when it made that market, made that little recession, which really was a depression, but they just had found a way to stop the run of the banks, you know, or the run to get your stock, because I have stock too, and I've been trying to find out about my stock in Walmart, and all of a sudden they tell me it's because I didn't have a PIN number, and all of a sudden I need all these, get them all this information, and I'm thinking to myself, stop for a second, I said, wait a minute, I've never had this problem before. Maybe this has to do, because I called the day after all the stuff happened with the stock market, I said, wait a minute, maybe this has to do to hold me up, you know, so I couldn't, if I was going to try to sell my stock, I couldn't. Okay. So, you see, these things are going on Earth. The stress of nation with perplexities, okay, you know, great difficulties in fixing it because man is trying to go at it alone. In the seas and the waves are roaring, and men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming up on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. But he said, look what it says, man's heart failing them. There's people going to be having literal heart attacks also, dying, mental breakdowns, because they see a situation coming, but they don't know what to do, how to solve this problem, how to fix what is going on in our economy. And, you know, the government is putting this little spin on it, and what they're doing is keeping people in the dark. They're not trying to tell you what is really going on in this world. You know, they try to feed us so much propaganda on TV. We watch the news, and all it is entertainment, nothing of real value to kind of give you a general idea of where you're at in time. So you see these things happening, okay? And these people around us are looking. They don't know what to do. They're thinking, oh my God, if this economy goes, what am I going to do? If America is no longer standing, what's going to happen to me? You know, that's where they're at. They're scared. The people around the world are fighting, killing one another. Here, we're just going, you know, we start to deal with hyperinflation. You go in these stores and the price of eggs and bread is up. You know, so people are scared. They don't know what to do. They're looking at it. See, these people don't know Jesus. That's what the problem is. If you don't know Jesus, then you're going to be real afraid. You're going to get scared. You don't know what to do. You're almost in a panic state looking at all the stuff that's happening around you. But that is simply because you don't know Jesus. That is what the problem is. See, a lot of people don't understand who Jesus really is. There's a lot of stories about Jesus, but who is he? You know, that story was going on back in the day, and he asked a question, and which is going to be Mark 16. He literally asked a question. And the question that he asked was, because even in his time, people really didn't have a clear understanding of who Jesus was. There were many sayings about who he was, but they didn't know who he was. See, the people today don't know how to turn to Jesus because there's so many misconceptions of who he is. And then you got so many false preachers out there, so many false churches. You know, that's like he told us, he said, what shall be the sign that I come? He says, and that's Matthew 24, he says, many shall come in my name and deceive many. That means many. They're going to mislead a whole lot of people, these false preachers, giving you their version of Jesus, but not according to the scriptures, because the Bible let us know that people believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in him according to the scriptures. And that's going to be John 7:38, and I'm coming right back to see who Jesus really was, to Matthew 16. Now look at this, because look, maybe you out there believe in Jesus, but not according to the scriptures, what the scriptures have said. Maybe you do believe in him, but not according to the word of God. So what do you really believe in if you're not believing correctly? And he says, he that believe on me, as the scriptures have said. See, not what we think, but what the Bible reveals to us about who Jesus was. And he that believe on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly, out of the innermost parts of his mind, in other words, his belly, shall flow rivers of living water, life. Because if somebody can tell you who the real Jesus is, then they can lead you to life. Okay? And God, they said in chapter, I believe it's going to be chapter 4 of John, the Gospel of John. Okay? See, the day of ignorance is no more. God is not really accepting that. Okay? Okay, now listen to this. This is about the Gospel of John. And I'm going to pick up on verse 21 as he was talking to this woman at the well. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father." See, at one time, Jerusalem was the place you had to go to worship. It's like the false religion of Islam when they tell you to go to Mecca to walk around that rock. So Jerusalem was the place, he said, but he's telling her, there's coming a time where people won't only worship from Jerusalem. You shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now notice what he says. He says, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. See, he understands it was not blind worship. It was not in ignorance. Like he said, they believe on me. There's people believing in me, but not according to the scriptures. He said, those that believe on me according to the scriptures, not blind worship. Okay? He said, for salvation is of the Jews. He said, but the hour coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For my Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know what that means? You understand spirit? Your character? See, not play acting. We have a lot of that out here today. People faking and dressing a certain way so you can feel they're holy. But inwardly, they're corrupt. See, he says, seeking them. So in other words, spirit really is in reference to your character, to your state of mind. If your state of mind is in filth, then that's how you're going to act out. If your state of mind is actually meditating, you're always meditating on God, your actions will naturally flow. If you're staying in the Word of God and studying the Word of God, your action will flow. You will see it without you have to tell me. I'll notice it in your actions, in your character, your principles. It'll show up. And he said, in spirit and in truth. You know what truth is? Reality. A clear understanding of the scriptures. He's not looking for those to believe on him. And I'm not talking about when I say him, I know there's a difference. Now, some of you out there are going to say, what? There's a difference between Jesus and God. Okay, God was working through Jesus, but Jesus himself has never been God. You can't prove that in the scriptures, nowhere you look. And I'm still going back to Matthew. You can't prove that. When somebody said, what you mean you can't prove that? Because Acts 2 and 22 kills that. If you don't believe the scriptures, then this shows no good for you. But the you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Never once said he was a man approved of God. From there, let's go on and look at Matthew's, what the question was. What was the controversy that still exists even to this very day when you begin to deal with the subject of Jesus? Who was he? the same controversy is still in existence today. And people, anybody call him a consolist, think he going into sleep mode. Okay, look what it says. This is Matthew 16 and 13. See, I'm speaking to you about the bread of life. Okay? It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philip, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? It's already a controversy, even when he was standing here on this earth. Who do they say I am? Who do they claim I to be? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who say ye that I am? Who do you believe I am? I'm standing here before you. Who do you think I am? Tell me. Okay. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Never once said, thou art God. You're God, man. No. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. His Father in heaven did not reveal that Jesus was God. So where do you guys get that from? Where do you come up with that teaching? His Father in heaven revealed that that was his Son. People always talk about, you can't see the Trinity? It's a mystery. Yes, the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness. Because that's not a true teaching. That's not believing on Jesus according to the scripture. That is something someone else is teaching outside of the scripture. Here it tells you, Jesus himself said, my Father in heaven has revealed that I am his Son. He never said, I have revealed that I'm no God. And then he told you in Acts 2:22, he said, a man approved of God, which God was working through him, but he was never God, okay? And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, that scripture is even taken out of place too. When they say rock, they say Peter was the rock, the church built. That's not what he's saying. He's saying on that very principle that he is the Son of God, the church shall be built. The called out ones, the ecclesia, those who have been called out from this world, from this death, this impending doom that people are seeing and don't know what to do because they don't know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Or do you just know him in a religious way where this preacher sits up there and tells you something that he cannot validate in scriptures, and then when he can't explain it, he just tells you it's a mystery as he misleads you down the road. The mystery of iniquity. Instead of telling you he's the Son of God, Jesus ain't telling you nothing else. People see him working in Acts 2:22, clears up all of that. When Thomas was talking, I believe it was John 14, he said, show us the Father. And he said, have you not been so long with me? They take that out of context. Because if you follow down there, he said, if you don't believe on me, believe on me because of the work I do. In other words, the Father was working through him, revealing himself to man through Jesus. But Jesus himself is a man. He is the Son of God. And there's nothing else you can do with that. You can't toss it another way. And then he tells you, he talks to Peter, and he says, upon this rock, upon this very principle, will I build my church? Will I build his nation? Because when you really get to dealing with the kingdom of God, you're dealing with a nation. You're dealing with a global power. See, that's not even told, right? They tell you you're going into heaven. Who said that? They say we're going to go up in the clouds and meet him, come right back down here and take this planet Earth. So the meek shall inherit the earth. But the question is, do you know Jesus? See, this is what we're not hearing no more today. You go to church and you get a feel good. What's good is that to you? You know, tell me, what is that anything to you? You're just getting a feel good. Come on, I need truth. The Bible talks about all those who come to Jesus come through him through a knowledge of truth. They don't come in ignorance. The Father's not looking for the ignorant. See, I mean, as he's not looking as for somebody who don't know him according to the scripture, who's not willing to know him according to the scripture. He's not interested in that. He's looking for those to worship him that will worship in him knowledge and actual clear knowledge and clear understanding of who he is, who the Son is, who God is. Okay? And so we look at that, and you see people distressed. This is the only answer to the problems that we're looking at. There are no other answers to what you said, to what we're seeing. What other answers can you give me? How would you fix this problem? Here we get to go into a global collapse, the dollar going. Then what, people? Who should you turn to then? Who should be your God? America's no longer your God. America can no longer provide for you. Then what? Okay. And here it is, and it's John 6 and 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourself. No man can come to me except the Father. My Father, you see, there's a difference, which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So you're promising that. He said, for it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. And every man, therefore, that have heard, in other words, understood, and have learned that the Father come unto me. They come to Jesus. They're not going to fight the point of who he is. They submit themselves to Jesus. They know Jesus is the bread of life. He is the very doctrine, the teaching to bring us into eternal life. How do you enter into eternal life? There are several scripture people say, you go to some churches, some people say, hey, all you have to do is believe. Confess the Lord as your Savior and you're saved, my brother. Or we're going to give you the right hand of fellowship. Is that Bible? Is that true? Can all you have to do is they use Romans 10. If all you have to do is just call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Is that really true? Is it that easy? Really, it's actually simple to enter to your walk. Let's look at this saying, just believe and nothing else is required. Baptism don't save you, as the liars say. How do they figure it? The scripture clearly states that it does. And I'll read that scripture too to you. It says, okay, Mark 16 and 6. And it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, Lord, teach the gospel. Don't serve, don't get up there and dance around. Make the word of God plain so that person can use it and change their life. It says the word of God, it says the word that converted the soul, the law, the word, scriptures convert your soul. Not me just talking to every creature. And he that believe it, notice this, he that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. So believe was good enough. You could have stopped at that, but the Bible says, and this is Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. If you don't believe it's necessary, you're already condemned, my brother. If you don't believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you're already condemned. It said, except, this is John 3, John 3, and the Gospel of John 3 and 5. It said, except that man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't understand the kingdom of God. He can't understand what's coming. That's why they're running around so caught up not knowing, because the problem is nobody has made the word of God plain to them, making them know they need Jesus. He's the answer to the problem that we're having. He is the solution. If you go to the street, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. Okay. Now, how do you fix the problem? Only way you're going to fix that problem is reconnecting the people back to their God. Israel's lost. Israel's been running out here, don't even know they're Israel. They're so delusional now. embracing homosexuality, perverse lifestyles, you know, the deterioration of the family. So he goes on to tell you, so those that believe and is baptized shall be saved. So he says, except a man be born again, except he become a new creature, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now notice what it tells you in 5, the Gospel of John 3 and 5. He says, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot go in. So if you ain't never been born again of water and spirit, you can't go in. Okay, so what do you find? They say, okay, the Bible says all we had to do is call and confess. And let me stop by one place before I go any farther about the people who said water don't save you. It's going to be 1 Peter 3 in verse 19 up to verse 21. He said, but which also he went, he said, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, talking about Christ, which sometimes were disobedient, which once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Now notice this, the like figure, whereunto even baptism do it also now save us. So you say baptism don't save us. Where you get that at? What Bible that come out of? So it also do say, it's a now save us. You skip it by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but baptism saved. And so you say it don't, and I tell you, you're a liar, because the Bible doesn't teach that. That's what it's talking about, those that believe according to the scriptures, not those who believe these philosophies, these demons, these misleaders. Okay? So when you get into John, he talked about the born-again experience. I was talking about the born-again experience. And then so I got into the confession part, and I noticed this. It said, it shall come to pass, and this is Acts 2 and 21. It said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This goes with Romans. I'm not going to go over the Romans. I don't have enough time. So he said that. Now, so here the man is standing here. And then this is going, he drops down to verse 36. That therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Okay? Made supreme in authority in the Holy Ghost for us. He says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Didn't he just tell them that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Problem. That was not application. Okay, so the problem is, I mean, that was not application, that was content. Now, here's the application. So they asked, they looking for clarification. What you mean just call upon it on the Lord? Then what Peter said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, how? In the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins. There's your water, and you shall receive water and spirit right there. And then if you talk about, he said in Revelations 1 and 5, he said, he washes from our sins in his own blood. The blood is found in the baptism of Jesus' name. Then you got Acts 4 and 12, for all y'all who want to dispute it, they said, whereby, he said, there's no other name given among under heaven whereby a man must be saved. No other name under heaven given to among men whereby we must be saved. There's the name of Jesus Christ. Once again, baptism, it contains all of that. So if you have never been born again, not baptized in Jesus' name, you're not a part of this. You're gonna die with this world. But see, that's for you to make a decision to find out where somebody is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Not no Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Do you baptize? You need to find your apostolic church. And I'm running out of time, people. I'll see you on Saturday. Go out and get my books called The Devil Workshop, The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and the Temple Mount. You'll be blessed reading those books because they give you some insight to where you're at. The Devil Workshop will give you insight into the church itself. The Revival of the Roman Empire will show you the rise and fall of world government we're dealing with. And the caliphate will bring out some a whole lot more truth also on how Satan was going to sit in the Temple Mount. And I'll see you guys 5:30 Saturday. All right, y'all have a great evening. And Revolutionary Gospel News.